This afternoon, I'm going to discuss an urban male adolescent health initiative that we developed at Einstein Healthcare Network in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They just had a name change. It used to be Albert Einstein Medical Center. They just did the name change like this week when I left. So it's now the Einstein Healthcare Network in Philadelphia. I have no disclosures to make. So the question was brought up, but why did we choose the adolescent male as the focus of our health initiative? Well, as we all know, studies have shown that there are poor health outcomes for males as compared to females. Studies have also shown that there is lower utilization of the healthcare system by males. But their poor health outcomes are not just the fault of their own. The community's acceptance of boys will be boys, dismissing those risk behaviors of males as being normal or status quo, is a problem. And we ourselves in the medical system cannot be left out of the equation because, of course, the medical system is always female-focused because studies have shown that females access medical care quite significantly more than the males themselves. So our goal today is to describe an innovative urban male adolescent health initiative and its impact on healthcare utilization. In order to discuss this goal, we will be reviewing two of our objectives that came out of this project. One was increasing the number of new male patients by 30 per month. The reason we chose this number is that it would increase our males' utilization of our teen health services by 50%. And also, we wanted to look at the increased compliance rate of follow-up visits, thus showing improvement engagement in the healthcare system at the teen health center. In order to achieve these goals, we wanted to look at three methods: the shifting of paradigm of care, recruitment, and retention. We're going to spend a little time right now on the shift paradigm of care. MAHI, which is a Male Adolescent Health Initiative, is affectionately called in our institution, was implemented on an asset-based model of care utilizing the Search Institute's developmental asset framework. This asset framework looks at 40 assets of a person, 20 internal and 20 external. These assets look at the social determinants as well as traditional risk behaviors in adolescence. The social determinants are the community around them, their school, their family, and also assesses their self-worth. So we wanted to implement this asset-based model of care into clinical practice, leaving the traditional risk-based assessment that adolescent medicine has been steeped in, because we know that risk-based model of care has worked over the years, but lately it's just kind of plateaued in decreasing the risk behaviors of our teens. Another way to shift the paradigm of care was to create a male-friendly environment. One of our dads said, "There's nothing here for me to read. It's all about girls. What do I do while I wait for my son?" Well, we did. We created a bulletin board that has nothing but males on it. It's very male-focused. It addresses the issues that they're interested in. And we've left literature out that really only talks about male health and not female health. So we have changed our clinic environment. So a little bit more about the difference between the risk-based versus the strength-based model of care. When we think of risk, we think of a problem. We want to fix that problem. So basically you go in, you find out, do you use drugs, do you have sex, blah, 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 and then they say, yes, I have sex. Then you try to tell them what to do to reduce their risk of catching a sexually transmitted infection, reducing their HIV risk. So we're fixing the problem. But we wanted our model to be more innovative, to be out there, to not just fix the problem, to go beyond the fix, to transform the young adolescent male in his environment, to help him to achieve his full human potential through building these positive building blocks. So to really help input his assets. So in order to do this, we needed to get the guys to come in. And we know that our patient population is only 25% males, which means the other 75% are females. Well, you can't implement a program without enough constituents. So we applied for an internal grant through the Albert Einstein Healthcare Network Society, and we were awarded funding and was able to hire a program coordinator. This program coordinator went out into the community and participated in multiple community events and was able to create partnerships with a lot of these community venues to help us to build a contact information sheet and to help us build partnerships that would allow us to identify missing assets in our teens and then engage them with community programs that would help to build in these strength-based assets. So some examples of our community partners, we had education and job training programs, such as the Philadelphia School District's free GED program. They called us and they were just so excited. We enrolled a total of 5, and that just totally like quadrupled the number of men that had ever participated in their program. So they're still calling us like, help us, you got so many in. And my program coordinator was like, it's only 5. I said, yeah, but they only had like 0 before, so let's take this and run with it. So they really looked to us to help get guys into their program. There's an E3 training, they do education, job training, and they also helped us out. We partnered with a substance abuse support program called STOP, Sobriety Through Outpatient Services. They have a special adolescent program, worked with post-adjudicated youth. Mentoring. We were able to partner with the Girls and Boys Club of Wissahickon, and they actually deferred their registration fee for our patients to be able to come and participate in some of their program. And then we also reached out to the faith-based community, and we partnered with a place called Church Disciples for Christ. Actually, their pastor works at Einstein, and they also provide some mentoring and just general support for our young men. So once we recruited them, how do we keep them coming back? Well, we then wanted to apply the asset-based model. So we utilized an asset checklist that was generated by the Search Institute. It's not, it's really just used for discussion purposes. It is not a validated research tool, but it helps us to create a discussion with our patients in regards to their social determinants. So once the new adolescent male came in, we gave him the checklist, he would check it off, and then we would review it as the clinician with him, and then would discuss it over with the program coordinator and make the appropriate linkages to the proper community partners to help build in the strengths that we felt were missing. So what outcomes happened? Well, during this planning period of our program, all the staff was trained on the asset evaluation, and we were totally encouraging all of our staff members to talk to the young men as if they were positive building blocks in our communities. We also created an advisory board with the various community partners and other additional partners that came to give us some input on our programming. We completed 2 focus groups, and we had success in recruitment and retention, and this data will be compared to a historical data review from 2009. So let's talk about our first focus group. We had about 12 young gentlemen who participated. It was at a local high school, and they were asked these several questions. Describe how you feel the medical establishment views you. Do you feel the medical providers view you in a positive manner? Do you think routine health care is necessary? Why do you think guys like you do not routinely go to preventive health care visits? What would motivate you to go to the doctor for regular visits? And what do you think are barriers to care? Well, the conversations were very interesting, but the biggest points that came out over and over again, we want to be seen and heard. We want appointments made in a timely manner because, you know, when men are ready to go, it's time to go. You got to get moving, so you got to get them in, get them seen, and get their matters taken care of. We aren't sick, but if we understood why, we would come. They really wanted to understand why was it important for them to come. So we gave an example. If your asthma is not well controlled, your sports won't be great. Your sports performance won't be great. And it was like the light bulb went off. It was like, how come you didn't tell me that? And I'm going to go to my doctor's tomorrow. So them really understanding why they should go for preventive healthcare visits was really important to them. Our second focus group, and this is funny because when you put up your slide about your different programs, we actually hosted our first round robin basketball tournament. We titled Fit for Life. we had about 12 gentlemen that participated in the question and answer period. And the questions that we asked that day were, what would motivate you to go to the doctors? Does your doctor address your primary concerns? And how could the medical system motivate you to go for routine checkups? These conversations, of course, after some basketball, and they were very hyped up, became a lot more fun to talk about. But the general feel of the day was, we want to get something for our time. We want to talk about STDs and make sure we are all right. One guy even said he has to check himself out because of all the dirty girls out there. I didn't touch that statement. No, our doctor never asks about the things that are important to me unless I say something. That is the one that really disturbed me the most, because we need to talk to them about what they want to hear. So just quickly going over what happened. 2009 and 2010, October through December, programs started in October, kind of September, October. 2009, historical perspective, we saw 10 or less new males in our clinic. But once we started the program with our intensive recruitment, we were able to achieve our goal of 30 new males a month in December of 2010. If we break down the new patients and how they came in versus scheduled versus walk-in, we have a walk-in clinic for reproductive health services. We have a Title X funded program, and we do a reproductive health services, and they can walk in for the reproductive health services. In September of 2009 to December of 2009, as you can see, we had about 20 walk-in new males. When we look at the 2010 data, after we implemented MAHI, we had over 60 new walk-in patients. And then our total number of new patients for that time period was about 100. And then I just took our data from June to April, and it showed that we're still increasing in the number of new males that we get into our clinic on a monthly basis. So how did we do in engagement? I'm sorry for, that should be 9-10, not 6-10. I'm a little dyslexic. The follow-up visits that happened from September to December of 2009, as you can see, was very low. But in September to December of 2010, we had over 40 males, and we had approximately 60 males that followed up from January to April. And the TS is just the number of total seen patients during that time period. So looking at it percentage-wise, we look at the compliance rate with follow-up visits. 2009, about 1%. 2010 and 2011 data show us that we have over 50% follow-up rates. So we're able to retain the males into our program. So in conclusion, MAHI shows the potential to increase the utilization of healthcare services of this urban male adolescent, of services of urban male adolescents through intensive recruitment, community outreach, and the asset-based health services gives them something back for the time that they are giving us. Thank you very much.